Most of you. Okay. All right. Now, some of you have heard this story. I'm going to give you the really fast version of it because it dawned on me this week past. As you know, we're studying the book of Jonah. Excuse me. And it dawned on me this week past that I'm more like Jonah than I want to admit. And I'm going to pull up the corner of the sheet of my life and let you look in just for a minute. When I was in Bible school, I felt the Lord wanted me to go to Bible school. I had peace about going to Bible school. And I hadn't been there that long till my mom called me from Mississippi. And I was here, I was up in Canada. And she said that my dad had taken sick and he had to have a surgery. He was going to be off work indefinitely. And they had no other source of income. And she wondered if I could come home and get a job and help support them. That was a very difficult day for me because I believed the Lord wanted me to be in Bible school, and now a very justifiable reason to leave, to go home and help my parents who all my life supported me, never asked me to do anything. Anyhow, it's a long story, but the end of that story was I told my mom I couldn't go, that I felt the Lord had called me to Bible school and that I was going to pray for him. Now, my mom didn't really get that, even though she was a new Christian at the time. That hurt my mom and hurt me that day as well. But I didn't go. My dad had the surgery. It was very successful, and his downtime from the surgery wasn't as long as they expected. And the company that my dad worked for gave him full pay the whole time he was off. So the Lord really looked after that. That's a great story. But just this week, I remembered a different story when I was in Bible school. And I've told you this story before, but I want to put the two stories together because the Lord put them together for me this week. The other story is that I actually left Bible school. And the reason I left was not to go home and help my mom and dad, which would have been a justifiable reason, I suppose. But I left Bible school because I couldn't go hunting. I always went hunting. And now we weren't given off any time to go hunting. And so I actually physically said things I was very sorry of later that I said, and left Bible school, got in my car, and drove about 7.5 hours beyond the, I was going to say beyond the speed of sound. It wasn't quite that fast. Beyond the legal speed limit. Only for the Lord to convict me and turn me around to go back. But as I was reviewing those two stories, I thought, Joe, how selfish of you. I wouldn't leave Bible school to go and help my mom and dad in a justifiable reason. But I did leave Bible school because of a very selfish reason. You say, now, what's that got to do with this Jonah? Well, there's just a little more of Jonah in me than I want to admit. And the Lord asked Jonah to go to Nineveh in our storyline. And Jonah did not do that. He ran away in an opposite direction, not to do the Lord's will. And as I thought about Jonah running in the wrong direction, I thought about myself running in the wrong direction. And I thought, you know, it took about 7.5 hours for the Lord to convince me to turn around. Now, I'm not blowing my own horn by any means. It's the grace of God that I turned around. But I'm thinking it must have been more than 72 hours for Jonah, because Jonah had to what? He had to leave his hometown. He had to go to Joppa, about 60 miles away. That would probably be a three-day journey right there. Then he found a ship going to Tarshish. I don't know how long that took. Then he paid the fare and he got on the ship and he headed out to sea. I don't know how long they were out to sea, but time is ticking. The convicting work of God is going on in this man's life. And as we read that story, I'm not going to read chapter one again. We're through with that. But as we read that story, he goes down and goes to sleep, of all things, in the ship, escaping from reality, escaping from anxiety, a conviction of the Holy Spirit. For what? But the Lord worked it all out in that he got Jonah's attention. The storm came, you remember, the lot fell on Jonah. The mariners were afraid. They asked him some questions. He said, "I fear God." It was almost so hypocritical, I could hardly read it when I say that, because if he feared God, why is he doing what he's doing? You know what I mean? But he said, "I fear God who made the sea and the dry land." It wouldn't be long before Jonah was in the sea. And so another thing that I noticed in chapter one, before we go to, and we'll go to chapter two today, but another thing I noticed was that the men, once the lot fell on Jonah, he confessed what he was doing, running away from the Lord. They became exceedingly fearful at that point. They go, "Oh no, here's a runaway guy. He's run away from God. God is disciplining him. We're getting in on it. This is called collateral damage." We're getting in on it because of what Jonah has actually done. And they said, "Well, to Jonah, what can we do?" And he said, "Pick me up and throw me in the water." Now, I've read over that a few times. That's a death sentence. That's a death sentence. Now, for all that Jonah wasn't, in this case, he's pretty courageous, I think. He said, "The lot fell on me. I knew it all the time. I'm the problem. I'm the source. What can we do? Throw me in the water." Just like I'm going to jump out of the ship and walk home? No. To throw him in the water was a death sentence. This is a raging storm. They're somewhere in the middle of the sea. And Jonah said, "Just throw me overboard." He said, "It's all about me. And if you get rid of me, things will go better for you." You know, if you read that, that's in verse 12 of chapter 1. If you read that over and over again, could I paraphrase what Jonah says? "I will die for you." That's something. I mean, here's a backslider if there ever was one. Here's a prodigal if there ever was one. Here's a renegade. God says, "Go." Jonah says, "No." And Jonah says, "Throw me in." That's the answer. "I will die for you." He said, "The whole thing is because of me." I find that rather incredible. The other thing, and then we'll go to chapter two, is in verse 14 of chapter one. They prayed now to the Lord. Guess who they was praying to before? Whatever your God is, just, if you got any kind of a God, if you got a stick or a brick or a tree or the sun, or make up some God and then pray to your God. That's what they were all doing. But now something has happened. Now they are praying to Jonah's God. Look at it in verse 14. We pray, O Lord, all capital letters, Jehovah. They're praying to Jehovah. Don't let us perish for this man. Basically what they said, God, this is your idea. It's not ours. Remember, we're just going to do what he tells us to do. And they throw him overboard in verse 15. And in verse 16, I think these men are converted, because as soon as they threw him overboard, two things happened. At the end of verse 15, the storm stopped. The sea ceased from its raging. And the men feared exceedingly now. If they weren't convinced before, they are now. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. They're converted. What does God expect in the Old Testament? Sacrifice. What do they give him? Sacrifice. As far as I can tell, they're converted. So someone has suggested the four chapters. Chapter one, Jonah and the storm. He's running away from God. And in chapter two, Jonah and the fish, he's praying to God. Chapter three, Jonah and the city, he's speaking for God. And chapter four, Jonah and the Lord, he's learning of God. Well, we'll cover those as we get opportunity to do that. So let's go and let me read for you now chapter two. There are just 10 verses, but let me read that chapter for you. Background, God calls, says go. Jonah says no. Finds a ship, goes maybe 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. God puts his finger on the problem. Everybody in the ship knows it, from the captain to the sailors and Jonah. They throw Jonah overboard. He said, I'm the problem. Over he goes. Verse 17, the Lord prepares a great fish. I kind of wondered about that too. Is that like a special creation, maybe? I don't know. If he took an old fish and prepared him to swallow, or did he prepare a brand new special fish for Jonah? I don't guess it really matters. But the Lord prepared this great fish, and now the fish swallowed Jonah, and he's in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Verse 1, chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves pass over me. Then I said, I've been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed round me. Weeds are wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me, closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up. You have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. I guess my caption over this chapter is, how low do you have to go? How far away from God do you have to get before you call on the Lord? Well, chapter 2, verse 1, first word, then, I think it answers the question, how low do you have to go? What would it take for Jonah to pray? He wouldn't pray when God commissioned him, when God spoke to him, when God said, go to Nineveh. Now, if you're a Christian and you're walking with the Lord and you get something from the Lord, what's the most common thing, the normal thing that you do? You pray, wouldn't you? Well, Jonah doesn't pray. He doesn't seek the mind of the Lord. He's not asking for any help or direction or anything. Not when God spoke, not when God commissioned him. He didn't pray when he thought about running away from God. He didn't pray when he tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. He didn't pray when he got in the ship and went down into the ship. He didn't pray when God sent the wind and the storm. He didn't pray when he was asked to pray. Everybody is praying, but Jonah's not praying. He didn't pray when the lot fell on him. He didn't pray when he confessed to the sailors, it's all because of me. And he didn't pray when they threw him overboard. And he didn't pray when he was in the sea. He didn't. But he's praying now. He's praying now. How low do you have to go? Down, down, down. Not as low as the belly of the ship, but he's got to go to the belly of the fish, and he's got to go to the bottom of the mountains before he prays. 3 days and three nights. Dear friend, at best calculation I can come up with, that's like 72 hours. Okay, put yourself in Jonah's predicament. Just kill me. I know I'm going to drown. I don't know how he did it. He didn't make any excuse. He just said, I fear God. It's all because of me. Throw me in. Threw him in. Did he go? Did he dog paddle for a while? Did he see the fins of the sharks circling around? Did he go immediately to the bottom? Was the fish's mouth open? Did he? I don't know the answer to all that, but I know this. That fish swallowed him at some point. If it was an hour, he treaded water and then the fish came. I don't know. But he's 3 days and three nights in the fish. Now, as far as I know, there's no light inside of a fish. As far as I know, I've never been inside of one. But I don't suspect there would be any power that would produce electricity inside that fish. So 3 days and three nights in total darkness. In his prayer, he talks about weeds wrapping around his head and all that. I don't know what's going on in there, but I know one thing. It's 72 hours. That's a long time. You got a lot of time to think and a lot of time to remember what caused you to get into that fish. And what is my point? It took it all for him to pray. But before I leave that point, how often do you pray? When do you pray? Why do you pray? A lot of these questions. Where do you pray? How do you pray? Who do you pray to? They're all answered right here. And so the person that he prays to is his God. Then Jonah, after all that, then finally he's praying to Jehovah, his God, out of the belly of the fish. You know what that tells me? You can pray no matter where you are. If you're in church, you can pray. That's a great place to pray. If you're in the belly of the fish, you can pray. I mean, isn't the Lord Jesus Christ nailed to a cross? Don't you find it interesting? He prays three times while he's on the cross. You say, well, I thought he went to Gethsemane to pray. Oh, he did. But he prayed three times from the cross. The place of prayer is the belly of the fish for Jonah. He calls it out of the belly or the deep of Sheol, the place of the dead. That's at the end of verse 2, out of the belly of Sheol. That word is translated grave 31 times, is translated hell 31 times, translated the pit 3 times. It means the underworld, where the dead go. He's in the grave. He knows it. I mean, he thought it was suicide for them to throw him overboard. Somehow he said, I do it, get rid of me, I'm the problem. And then all of a sudden a fish swallows him and he goes from sudden death to, I don't know what's happening, to I'll never get out of here kind of a situation, out of the belly of the fish. But he gives us the reason for his prayer. Look at it again in verse 2. I cried to the Lord because things haven't been going very well for me. Well, wake up and smell the coffee, Jonah. Of course things are not going well for you. How can you expect things to go well from you when you hear the voice of God and say, I'm not going. I'm out of here, but I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going to Tarsus. I'm going the other direction. How could you expect things to be good for you? And so the reason that he prays is because of his affliction. God's hand is on him. I hope that you and I could learn a lesson. And we've already experienced it. I'm sure you've experienced it. So have I in real life. But I hope we can learn the lesson. Don't wait until there's no other resource. Don't wait until all hope is gone. Make prayer your first knee-jerk response instead of your last option. Pray. Show your dependence on God. Reach out to the Almighty. Save yourself a lot of affliction. The psalmist would say, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Oh my, is that the case for us all? Can't we learn a little bit? Don't we know the story of the prodigal son? Don't we understand that there are consequences to misbehavior for the Christian? Don't we know there are consequences to disobedience, to unconfessed sin in our life? Out of the belly of the fish, he cries. Why? I can't take it. I'm afflicted. And so then he prays. Now, look at verse 3. You heard my voice. Look at this next phrase. You cast me into the deep. I thought that was the sailors that did that. You see what's happening to him? His thinking is coming back. He's thinking about the sovereignty of God now. He's thinking about God is in control. I told the sailors he made the sea and the dry land. He created everything. And it was God. Yeah, it was the Lord that threw me into the sea. Out of your sight. Isn't that where he wanted to be? Don't we find the story opening up? Jonah is trying to get away. He's trying to get out of the sight of God. He's trying to get away from the presence of the Almighty. He says, you threw me into the sea. Verse 4, then I've been cast out of your presence. Oh my goodness. So here's a, be careful what you pray for. You might just get it. Be careful what you want. It might just happen. I'm convicted in my heart that I know people, and I don't pray for them as much as I should. I know people who don't want God. They don't want him. I mean, they just don't, they don't understand it. I know that. Somehow they're afraid of God. If there is a God, they don't want the God in their life. They just want to be left alone. They just want to be alone. That's exactly what they're going to get. Alone forever. No God. No light. God is light. Wherever God is, there's going to be light. If there's no God, there's going to be no light. God is love. Wherever God is, there's love. From the presence of the Lord, there's no love. People just, they don't understand, but God's a perfect gentleman. If you don't want God in your life, you get to pull the trigger on that. You get to decide. What a foolish thing to say, I don't want God. Thou hast cast me into the deep, out of thy sight. It wasn't the sailors doing. All hope is lost. Jonah saw the difference when the sailors prayed to whatever God they're praying to and whatever God Jehovah that he's praying to, he knows the difference. And so his God is full of mercy. He knows that. He's crying out for mercy. No matter how sincere a person might be, unless you cry out to the right God, you have no hope. You have gods that can't speak or think or move or see or hear or help. And so Jonah prays to the Lord, his God. And so is all hope lost? Well, he thinks so, because if all hope is not lost, then he's probably not praying. He realized that God's dealing with him. He said, Jonah's trying to get away from the Lord, and then he says, you cast me out of your presence. And when he got what he wanted, he didn't want what he got. But notice this again in verse 4, I'll look again toward the holy temple. Well, that temple's in Jerusalem, okay? And which direction is Jonah going in? Well, Jonah's going west, which means he has his back, and Jerusalem's on the east. This, in a sense, is talking about his repentance. Now, he can't do anything about it because he's not steering the, I started to say the boat, he's not steering the ship or the fish, okay? And so he's been taken by a sovereign God wherever that fish has taken him. We'll find out at the end of this chapter he had a divine appointment for dry land. But he said, so physically, he's going west, he's going to turn east, and spiritually, he's going away from God, he's going to God. That's the reason he said in verse 7, my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Many of you on this screen, maybe all of you on this screen, came to remember the Lord earlier today. For many of us, we do this weekly, every Lord's Day. We come to remember the Lord. We remember him at his request. Take the bread, representing my body, take the cup representing my blood, and do this in remembrance of me. In order to remember something, you've got to know something. You don't remember things you don't know. You learn things, new information, okay, but you can't remember something that you don't know. Jonah knows the Lord. He's quite acquainted with his ways. And he knows he's been away from the Lord, and he wants to go back. He wants to turn around. He wants to go east instead of west. He wants to go toward God, not away from God. And he says in verse 9, I will sacrifice the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I promised. 3 days and three nights, long time to be thinking about your life and your hopeless situation. And yet, again in verse 4, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. That's hope. All hope is not gone. He is crying out to the Lord. So in verse 10, the Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah onto dry land. Do you know what that was? That was salvation. That was deliverance from the pit, from the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Salvation is of the Lord, and that was manifested by the fish depositing Jonah on the dry land. The next time that we have an opportunity to come together, I think I told you before, one of my favorite verses in this whole book is chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Guess what? He that has ears, let him hear. And Jonah's got ears this time. He's got hope in the Lord. And we'll talk about the 3 days and the three nights relating to the Lord Jesus the next time we have an opportunity. But Jonah is now ready to go. Mind you, his arms tied behind his back. He didn't have a lot of options. Matter of fact, Jonah is giving us sort of the, I don't know how you'd say this, the worst view of the Christian who doesn't want Jesus to be Lord of his life. If you look at this situation, it's almost like, have I got to? Do I have to? Where's the joy? Well, after all, the Ninevites were the enemies of Israel. They're the bad guys. But all bad guys should be judged and burned. And I'm not going over there and tell them anything. This God might be so gracious, they might get saved, and I don't want them to get saved. And so we're going to learn some of those lessons as well. Salvation is of the Lord. He knew there was absolutely no other way, no hope, zero, minus 10 billion, zero, to get out of that fish's belly. There was none. I'm done. I will perish. The gastric fluids will eat me alive, and I am gone. But he cried out to the Lord in his troubles, and the Lord delivered him out of his distress. Look up Psalm 107 in your devotions this week and read those first, 20-something verses, and you'll find that little phrase again and again and again. Then they cried to the Lord in their troubles or their distress, and he delivered them. May God help you as we learn lessons from Jonah. Let's pray. Father, it's our delight to just mention some of the great storylines, some of the great sayings, words that pop out from this story of Jonah. Then Jonah prayed, who he prayed to, how he prayed, why he prayed, the result of his prayer. Salvation is of the Lord. And Father, if there's anyone here today that's got troubles, and they know they've caused those troubles, but they don't know what to do, let them cry out because of their afflictions. If that's what it takes, well, then that's what it takes. But call on the name of the Lord. For all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So cry out. Because why? because salvation is only of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other hope. And so, Lord, thank you for working with us. Thank you for calling up a storm. Thank you for preparing a fish. Thank you for reaching Jonah in a way that he cannot deny. God has done it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.